Let me just read from Hebrews chapter 9. This is verses 27 and 28. It says, Paul the Apostle here is speaking to the Hebrews, and he says, "As it is appointed for man once to die, but after this, the judgment, so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time, apart from sin, for salvation." And there's a couple important things there. It's appointed unto man once to die. Well, that really is the truth. I halfway considered calling my message this morning, "You are going to die." But most of us are probably going to die someday. I'm not looking forward to it real soon. I should say, I'm looking forward to seeing Jesus. But I think in times like this, and this is what's really been stirring in my heart these days. You know, people do all sorts of things to prepare themselves for the future. People who are working and they're putting away money and they have their savings plans and their retirement plans, and they've got all sorts of plans for how they're going to take care of themselves when they get to be 60, 70, 80 years old. And even for myself, sometimes I think about, okay, what are things that I got to do to address health issues that I might have? Or, you know, I'd like to live a good life and a long life, but what sort of things am I doing now that will help me with that? Well, the same holds true for spiritual things. You know, when we know that someday we're not going to be here on planet Earth anymore, there's coming a day when we're going to be standing before God, and, you know, what are we doing to prepare for that day? I know that there's probably a lot of people right now that are panicking a little bit, you know, going, "Oh no, what if I get sick? What if I die?" And in a certain sense, that's not all bad. It's good for us to evaluate where we're at, isn't it? I had a kind of a minor health scare quite a few years ago, probably 25 years ago, where I was really concerned about something, and I had thoughts about, what if I die? What if this thing grows? I had a tumor on the back of my neck. Not really a tumor, kind of a growth. But I was scared, and I was praying, and I was trusting God. And then I was scared, and then I was praying some more, and I was trusting God some more. And it was really troublesome. But in that time, I remember asking myself some questions. One of the questions that I asked was, if this turns out to be bad, if it turns out that it's not curable, what if I end up dying? What about my wife and my children? What about that? I'm concerned. And I remember coming to grips with that question at that time. I said, you know what? God has always been faithful. He's proven himself to be a faithful God. So even if I'm not here anymore, I know that God will take care of my family. God will give them the strength they need. He'll provide for them in every way that they need to be provided for. So I let go of that fear, and I put it into God's hands. I said, God, you got all of this. And I'll say this, you know, for all of us, we may have different kinds of fears, different kinds of concerns. But as hard as it is, we need to really say, okay, God, here is my fear, here's my concern. I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to trust you with it. And I'm going to try as hard as I can not to grab it back from you and start worrying about it again. We know how hard that is sometimes. We're walking in faith one day and just, I'm believing God. Everything's going to be okay. And the next day we get up and we're kind of going, oh no, what's going to happen? And it's those times when we just need to say, God, give me strength. God, help me to trust you. Help me, Lord, not to be fearful. So this passage here from Hebrews, where the Apostle Paul says it's appointed unto man once to die, but he's stating here that Christ came, he offered his sacrifice, he took care of all that we needed for salvation, for heaven, for being made right with God. Jesus took care of that already. And so we can say along with them, well, yeah, it's appointed unto man once to die. Most of us in this room will at some point down the road, come to the end of our days here on earth. And that's not something to fear unless you're not connected with God. What I'm going to do this morning, I'm just going to read some scriptures that have to do with our life in Jesus, what we have, the assurance that we have that He is with us, that He has made a way for us to be okay. John 10, 27 and 28, my sheep hear my voice. This is Jesus talking. He says, my sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. I don't know about you, but to me, that's very reassuring. Jesus is saying, I'm giving them eternal life, and they'll never perish. And he says, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. You know what? If Jesus has got us, if we are his and he's holding on to us, I know some people get all freaked out about the devil's doing this and the devil's doing that. Listen, Jesus is bigger. I'm not minimizing the dangers of the enemy, the power of the enemy, but if we begin to focus on his power and his dominion, you know, in the earth today, and lose sight of the fact that Jesus is still on the throne, you know, that's where the battle is. You got to know who's really in charge and who's in control. Jesus is the one who's in control. He's in charge. Amen. And it says here, I give them eternal life. I like that because he's able. Jesus says, I give them eternal life. From the Gospel of John, starting at verse 37, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. Jesus is saying, anyone who comes to me, I won't cast them out. I won't say, get out of here. Jesus says, come. He says, for I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of the Father who sent me, that all he has given me, that I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Those are reassuring words to us, that everyone who believes in the Son will have everlasting life. Amen. John 14:6. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now that's a pretty amazing statement, because so often we hear things from people that, you know, there's all these different ways to get to God, and there's all these different ways to get to heaven, and you can try this and you can try that, and you know, everything is okay as long as you're sincere. And yet Jesus makes a statement here. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And if you know, in Jesus' day when he spoke those words, it wasn't too long after that they were getting ready to pick up stones and stone him, because they were upset because Jesus was claiming that he was God. And that's exactly what he says here. I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. So there really is no other chance. There's no other hope. There's no other way to get to heaven and to be with God forever and to be right with him except through Jesus. That is God's plan. That's the way that God designed the plan of salvation and the way that people would be able to come to heaven someday. Amen. Jesus talked quite a bit. He talked in several different places in the Gospels about forgiveness. And, you know, we should forgive one another. We should give people who've hurt us or harmed us, that sort of thing. But one of the things that we need more than anything else is God's forgiveness. There was two men, and I've relayed this story quite a few times, but two men in Luke chapter 18 who came into the temple to pray. And there was one who was a tax collector. It says, tax collector, he was standing afar off and would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus says that man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be abased, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. This man who humbled himself and admitted to God who he was and what kind of person he was, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's the kind of approach that we need to have with God. And God, who is altogether faithful, he forgives. He forgives if we'll just ask. 1 John 1 verse 9, chapter 1 verse 9, the Apostle Paul says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us all our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's good news. If we'll confess our sins to him, God says he's faithful and just to forgive us. But I like the fact that it's more than just forgiveness. I mean, forgiveness is the greatest thing. But he says here that he will also cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God not only forgives, but he cleans us. He washes us. He makes us right with God. You know, this whole thing about when Jesus told the man that that man went down to his house justified, what Jesus is saying, this man is right with God. You know, we've sometimes heard it stated that way. Are you right with God? Are you on good terms with him? If you see him, if you die today, would you be with him and would he welcome you in, or would he say, who are you? Being justified because we've asked for his forgiveness, we've received what he's done on the cross for us. That's what we need. Amen. And to have right standing and right relationship with God is the greatest thing. It'll give you all the peace that you need. Amen. The peace that passes understanding. Luke 15:10. Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. God is looking for the ones and the twos and the, you know, those that are coming to him, those that repent, those that turn to him. In fact, it talks about here something that goes on in heaven. When the angels look down from heaven and they see just one sinner turning to God and saying, God, be merciful. God, forgive me. It says that there's rejoicing in heaven. You know why the angels are rejoicing? Because they know there's another one who has become a member of the family of God, another one who's destined for heaven, who's going to be here with us forever. You know, there's plenty of room in God's house for more. He's got plenty of space. Amen. And I think the angels, when they see a sinner turning to God, because that's how people get connected to God. That's how they get made right with God, when they turn, when they say, God, I'm sorry. God, forgive me. God, lead me. God, make me clean. Amen. All right, I'm going to read a parable here out of Luke chapter 15. A pretty familiar passage of Scripture to a lot of people. This is the story of the prodigal son. Luke 15:11. Then he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. His father had two sons. The one son was with him. The one son was serving him faithfully. The other son was, hey, just give me my stuff and I'm out of here. And he took it and he wasted it. Wasted it on all sorts of bad living. And this young man, you know, he was having the time of his life. He was having a great time as long as he still had some money left. It's I've often said, you know, you'll have friends as long as you got money, but as soon as the money runs out, the friends usually run out too. But this young man experienced that. He had the blessing of his father with him, and he took it and wasted it. And I can imagine a lot of times this young man's father was probably back home thinking about that son. Where is that boy? What is he into? What is he all right? And more than likely praying for him, God, help that young man. God, bring him to his senses. And one of the things that I did want to share in this, this is something that I guess God showed me years ago when I read this. I thought, this is a picture of a father who was well-to-do enough where he had inheritance to give to his sons. And, you know, it says that he had servants, he had the fatted calf, you know, when later on in this story. But this father had the ability to go out looking for his son. And I've often wondered, so why didn't he? If he had the ability to go search for him and look for him and maybe go to that other country and say, have you seen my boy? You know, and look for him and find him and say, son, come on back home, you know, and knock this off. You've wasted your life. You've wasted all sorts of stuff. Come on back home. You'll be taken care of. But the father didn't do that. Why? Because of this whole thing of when a sinner repents. Because that young man was not ready to say, I'm sorry yet. That young man had not come to the conclusion that what he had done was sin against heaven and sin against God. And I believe that that's what that father was waiting for just the right opportunity. It says in verse 14, but when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, mark that, when he came to himself, all of a sudden he went, what am I doing? When he came to himself, he says, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to eat and to spare? And here I am, perishing from hunger. Everything's better at my father's place right now than the situation that I'm in. So in verse 18, very important decision. He says, I will arise and go to my father. And I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. You want to talk about this young man humbling himself. This young man said, yeah, I'm a son, but I know I give up my rights. I give up any benefits that I might have being connected with my father. I'll just go and serve him like a hired servant. At least I'll have bread to eat, but I've sinned against heaven and I've sinned against my father. And so it says here, he arose and he came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. That father who was waiting finally for that son to come to his senses, I'm sure he was out there every day looking down the road, looking far off and saying, is that him? Is he coming? And one day, this father sees off in the distance his son, and he goes running to him. It's an amazing thing. God the Father comes running to us when we start going toward him. When we go to him and say, I've sinned against you, Lord. I've wasted my life. God, I just want to be like a hired servant. It'll be okay. I don't need anything special or anything fancy. I don't need any special rights or privileges. Make me like one of your hired servants. And so he arose, and his father, when he was still a great way off, saw him and had compassion on him and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. You notice the father didn't run to him and scold him and say, you messed up. His father ran to him and kissed him. He was so glad that his son was back. Amen. And the son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. He had more to that speech. You remember he rehearsed it. I'm no longer be worthy to call your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. His father didn't even let him finish his speech. It says, but the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it. And let us eat and be merry, for this son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to make merry. This father was rejoicing in a son that was dead. Back to life. Spiritually dead, walking in his own ways at one time, only thinking about himself, only thinking about what's in it for me. And this son finally came to the place where he said, I've sinned. I've done wrong. And now all of a sudden he's thinking about someone else. I've sinned against you, Father. I've sinned against the God of heaven. And I'm not worthy to be a son anymore. Just make me like a hired servant. But his father threw a party and rejoiced because this son was dead and came back to life. He came back to life by saying, I'm sorry. Forgive me. That's how it happens. So that is the picture that we have of Jesus and what he's done for us. He made a way for us on the cross. In John chapter 1, John's gospel says here, he came to his own, and his own did not receive him. Jesus came to his own. And for the most part, most of Israel did not receive him. Many of them, not too long after he was here, said, crucify him. You know, even the ones that were healed and delivered and set free and taught, many of them were among the crowds, crucify him. Says his own did not receive him, but he says here, as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. There are many that reject Jesus today. Many in his day that rejected him. But there are those, and maybe quite often there are the few, they're not the majority, who say, Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I want you. Jesus, be my Savior, be my Lord. I want to follow you. I want to serve you. Amen. It says he gave them the right to become children of God to those who believe in his name. Amen. Romans chapter 8, the Apostle Paul says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. There's no longer any condemnation for those of us who are in Christ Jesus. Those of us who have come to faith in him, we've turned our lives to him, no more condemnation. The devil wants to condemn. God doesn't condemn. God is saying, son, daughter, I love you, and we'll get through this. Amen. So why don't we stand up this morning? I'd like to conclude in a prayer. Thank you, Lord. Just like I read earlier at the beginning of the message, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through him. And most of us have come that way. We've come to Jesus. We've come humbly. We've asked for forgiveness. And he's come in, and he's been faithful. He's forgiven us. He saved us. He set us free. And he put us on a road that leads to heaven. Amen. I just want to say this kind of in conclusion this morning. Wherever you're at in your walk with the Lord, just say yes to him. Just say, yes, Lord, I want to follow you. I want to serve you. I want to honor you with my life. And he'll work out all the details. You don't have to understand an awful lot. You just have to understand that God loves you. God's love is here. God's love is here for us. He's displayed it for us 2,000 years ago on a cross. Thank God. Thank God. Jesus came for us. Amen. Father God, we're so grateful this morning for the blessing of forgiveness you've extended, Lord, an open heaven to us, Lord. You've extended to us the privilege of becoming your children, of knowing you, and having a hope and a future. Lord, we just praise you and thank you. Lord, bless us today. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to walk as children of the light today. And Lord, even as we go out and about our business these next few days and weeks, Lord, help us to be an encouragement and a blessing to others that are all around us. Lord, there are many that are struggling with fear, struggling with worries. God, we pray that you would help us to be Christians, help us to be compassionate, help us to be people who will pray and look to you, and help us, Lord, with the things that we say, that we could also encourage others to come to know you too. Thank you, Lord. Father God, bless us today. Bless us and keep us safe. Lord, I pray that your protection would be upon us in this coming week. I pray, Lord, that you would watch over us. You'd help us to walk boldly, Lord, as children of the light. In Jesus' name, amen.